Hello, welcome to the Addiction Solution Podcast. This is episode 48. I'm Michelle Dunbar. Mark, Sharon, Stephen Slate, and I will be talking today about how people fully break free from the addiction treatment and recovery trap. For those of you who are just joining us, you may be new to the podcast. We have 47 of these, and they're all available on our website, which is thefreedommodel.org, if you want to start listening to them. We are the co-authors of The Freedom Model for Addictions, Escape the Treatment and Recovery Trap, and The Freedom Model for the Family. The Freedom Model offers a completely different approach to addiction. It offers a real solution that's individual-centered. There are two ways to learn The Freedom Model in private one-on-one classes, and that's at our beautiful St. Jude Retreat, or through at-home Freedom Model Private Instruction Program, which we do via video conference. You can get information about our retreat at soberforever.net and thefreedommodel.org, and about the at-home private instruction program at leaveaddictionbehind.com. And today we have a pretty good topic that I think everybody can relate to. Steven's gonna tell us about it.
Yeah, so yesterday I had a conversation with an old friend, really smart guy, a really good guy, resourceful when he's passionate about something, puts 1,000% energy into it.
Yeah.
And, and he said, you know, I've just screwed up my entire life. It's over, this sort of thing. And it really struck in me, you know, remembering, thinking the exact thing, maybe in the exact words and way that he said it when I was like 21.
Yeah.
When I was 21 and got arrested for possession of heroin, and my world was crumbling around me, and looking at friends graduating school and getting jobs and thinking, I've missed the boat. You're supposed
yep.
I'm too, like, here's what they, like, I'm too old.
You know, I mean? I like, thought that at 22.
I sort of missed what the life trajectory is supposed to be. You're supposed to achieve these things at this point, you know, and I didn't graduate school at that point.
Right.
And, you know, and I'm thinking I'm forever going to be viewed as this junkie, you know,
yep.
like that whole stereotype. Right. And that was a devastating thought, and paired with rehab basically saying, yeah, you're right.
I know you go to treatment and they do kind of say that, right?
Essentially what it boils down to is, yeah, you're right. I was devastated, and it sent me through, that was a big ingredient in 5 years of hell.
Yeah.
With rampant, you know, just off the charts drug use and cycling in and out of sort of recovery programs. And so I just wanted to say to him, I was like, look, I told him, I said, I thought the same exact thing. I laid it out. I'm like, how old are you? He's like, 40? Like, yeah. Yeah, right. Okay. You've got at least 30 years.
Right.
You know what I mean? Your life is not over. People come back from this kind of stuff. And the thing that he's been going through is a drug problem. So I said, you know, how old are you? Like 40. He says, yeah. I'm like, you got another good 30 years left. Come on. Like, it's not over. People have come back from worse than this. And this is dangerous. I think it's dangerous thinking, because
it's absolutely dangerous thinking.
I'll talk about that.
You know, and, but anyways, I know a lot of people feel this way. Like, they have broken their lives beyond repair. And yet, a lot of people, most everybody, comes back from that. So I just want to raise this issue, thinking that way, because I know there's a lot of listeners that feel that way.
Yeah.
That think that way.
Yeah. Well, I think that you have two things going on here that I think need to be discussed. One is all or nothing thinking, right? And the other thing is, everybody goes through this at some point in their life. And some of us, like myself, have gone through it several times, where you have cycles in your life that are very high and other cycles where they're low, where the challenges are just kind of beating the snot out of you. And that's been the story of my life for a long time. It's just the life I've chosen in certain ways. I'm a business guy, and there are ups and downs to that world as an entrepreneur. But also as a druggie when I was a kid, you know, and was considered an alcoholic. So, and I've faced suicide. I've had a gun in my mouth. I've been very low. the reason I believe in my situation, and I'll also talk about some other situations later on in the podcast with other people, but in my case, like this fella, I am a pretty extreme person.
Yes.
Right? So when I do something, I'm all in, which means that when I'm feeling low, I'm all in.
Yes.
All right? Now, I've seen this, you know, being
that's
in
a good point.
Yes.
When you're low, you're all in on being
yes.
low.
Yes.
I have dealt with 4 friends who committed suicide. All 4 of them were all in.
Yes.
So when they have this temporary situation that they see as hopeless, it's temporary, but they don't see it that way because
right.
in the moment, it's everything to them. And these are highly successful people. They weren't, you know, out in the street just kind of muddling along. It wasn't like that. These were highly functioning people that had a lot going for them. But because they were all in, when they were down, they were all in. And the thing that I have had to do in my life, having come through very dark periods, I don't have them like that anymore because I'm a little more rational.
Yes.
I smooth out, okay, this is really a temporary situation because I've been through them, right?
Yeah.
I now have a record of going through them. So sometimes you got to look back and say, I got to slow my roll here.
Yeah.
It's okay to be depressed for a little while.
Yep.
It's okay to be anxious. It's okay to be regretful. It's okay to be sad. I'm having a hard time, but damn it, I'll be okay. And that for me was a massive shift in my personality.
Yeah, me
so,
too.
But having faced death twice as a young man, I realized I don't want my life over, you know? So when I hit my midlife crisis in my early 40s, I'm 50 now, that was a troubling time for me. But I got through it because I knew I would.
Yeah.
I just had to muddle through it.
Yeah.
You know? There's no clean way to do that. So life after addiction, Michelle made a point, and I'll let her talk about it. Everybody goes through that. This isn't something that is, you know, addicts
unique
and alcoholics. Yeah, yeah.
Substance users.
Exactly. They don't have a corner on the market on misery. So, and getting over it. Yeah, this is just a normal part of human living.
Yeah. I mean, I also have gone through it. I went through it in my early 20s when I... You know, when I really thought I had done things that I couldn't come back from, that my life would never be better. And of course, it got better. I mean, I had to at some point trust people that were telling me it would get better because I didn't trust myself. But I like what you said about intense people tend to be intense about everything.
Yeah.
And so what I have to do, like my midlife crisis, which was a few years ago, although I'm older, but it took me longer to get there apparently. You know, I had to basically when I'm starting to invest in that negative thinking and really double down on it, I just have to slow down and call bullshit. That's what I do.
I literally
call bullshit on myself.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, what you're thinking is not accurate. Because you've been through this before and you'll get through it again. And no matter what I've gone through, I realize, I mean, even losing people that are dear to me, where you think you really like go through something tough like that and you think, I'll never be happy again,
mm-hmm.
you know? And it's like, in spite of yourself, if you allow for the possibility that you can move through it and, you know, feel what you feel and then move through it, you will feel differently in time. And a lot of times it's if you open your mind to that possibility that this is temporary and you can be okay, it becomes very temporary, like shortens the process.
Well, you're mentioning something here that's really important, and that is that the solution for these depressing times that you might be going through or these anxious times is the same for everybody.
It is.
And that is, you have to find the silver lining in misery. Sometimes you have to embrace the misery for a minute.
Yep.
Feel it and then go, okay, I got to get out of this.
Yep.
But you said, allow for the possibility that things can get better. When you start saying things, I laugh at it now because I'm out of it,
yeah.
but I can go down some pretty negative roads well. And I've seen many guests through the years come to me crying. I can remember one fella in particular, he said to me, you know, if I don't get this, I'm done.
Yeah.
And I said, that's not true.
No.
If you don't get this on this try, if you're not willing to change your preferences, that's okay.
Yeah.
Let go of the shame. It's okay. And you'll be fine. You'll figure this out. And he looked at me. I'll never forget it. He was in his probably early 50s. He goes, you're serious. You really think I can get through this? I said, the odds are well in your favor. We're talking over 90%. You're going to get over this. So you, knowing that, you don't have to put yourself through misery. You don't have to be frightened that this is a forever situation. It really isn't. Even at 50, I've dealt with people that are 70s, in their late 70s, who went back to college and lived out their dreams in the last few years of life.
Yeah.
You know? And I started at 19. These are totally different situations, but the solution remains the same, and that is, how do I move on? How do I move past this temporary difficulty?
Yeah. And I've got some time left. Mm-hmm. Do I want to make the most of it? Or do
right.
I, like, ultimately, do I want to give up? Right?
Right.
Like, that's ultimately what's going on. And like you said, when we see people that are in their 70s, or, you know, I even knew a guy that was in his 30s, but he was going to be dying from liver disease, who still was like,
yeah,
I don't want to be, you know, drunk all day at this point. That's not what's going to feel good. And he gave that up, and he was a quite pleasant guy for the for the remainder of his time.
Yep.
And so you got this time, and the question is, what do you want to make of it?
Yeah.
You know, like, that's ultimately what it comes down to. What do you want to make of this time? It's the answer to so many questions of when people are looking back at all the bad things they've done, the ways you've embarrassed yourself.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And you're just focused on all that crap. And, you know, and I know that's a trite thing, but, you know, you're living in the past, and, you know, you're just throwing away today in a way, and you're throwing away the future.
The other thing is how quickly things can get good.
Yeah.
I know.
Well, that's, you know, that's the thing. Like, for me, pretty quickly, after I turned around my drug problem, people were looking, you know, family and stuff were looking to me as an authority, and I was almost, you know, I had almost like a prodigal son thing going on.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Where now I was like the favorite child.
Yes,
or
right.
Like, because I turned things around, and, you know, I didn't even... I remember here was something. I went to my Uncle Dennis's wedding just months after quitting, and I know that people could already see a change in me at that point, because people had given me the envelopes and said, here, go put this in the thing. And I was kind of, you know, envelopes full of cash to go up in the basket.
You're like,
No, I didn't think that at all. I just took note. I was like, oh, wow, they did that, because normally they'd be hiding their fucking pocketbooks.
Right, exactly.
Right? And they were like, here, Steve, can you go throw this in the thing? Like, that a couple people did that.
Yeah.
And I was shocked by it.
That's interesting.
And, you know, shocked also by the fact that I could be then, a few years later, 29 years old, going and taking on some, like, internships and things and getting jobs and, like, having this crazy past, and but still just, like, if you're willing to show up and work and restart your life, then
yeah,
you can restart your life, which is just, I thought I had, like, missed this boat of youth.
Yeah.
You know,
yes,
of being
yes.
in the early 20s.
Yeah.
And like, well, I did in a way, but it was not the only boat.
That's a great point.
Yeah. Like, well, here's sometimes when you do burn out the people around you, and you burn out a place, right?
Yeah.
Where you've blown up the spot, it's just a complete mess. Sometimes you do have to leave.
Well, yes,
leave.
And I did leave.
I did too.
But
I did too.
That was great.
Yeah, no, it is. Sometimes you have to leave to give yourself the opportunity to become what you want to become.
Yep.
Where you have no reminders of the misery. And I was leaving everything I knew, because I was so young. And I remember embarking on that journey, and it was lonely at first, but it was exciting.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm going to be a different person. And then when I met your dad, Jerry Brown, and I started doing research with him years later, he said, you're going to write down. Now, mind you, at this point, I basically have nothing. I don't own anything. I had just gotten out of treatment, or was finishing up treatment at that point. And he said, you need to make a list of your dreams. And so we make this list. In 1 year, out of 32 items on that list, I had 30 of the items accomplished. I didn't have the wife yet, and I didn't quite have the truck. you know, because but I had everything else on the list had been accomplished. I was shocked because when I wrote it, I thought it was pie in the sky ridiculous.
Yeah.
But what Jer did was he gave me a direction. So for the people out there that feel hopeless and feel really downtrodden and your life isn't where it needs to be, regardless of your age, I have seen over and over that the positive drive principle, which we describe in the book, when you corral that and you move it in a positive direction, it builds on itself. It's a remarkable force within you that drives you. And it's very, very exciting. You may not be able to see it right now, but just have the possibility in your mind that it can get better.
Well, yeah, and you have to know that people can and do change. You know, one of the most powerful ways we say that is just give these statistics about, you know, recovery, where 90% of people are going to get over their alcohol problems. Upwards of 95 are going to get over their drug problems. We know this, you know. We know that people are going to change in all sorts of other ways in life. So when I'm in classes with people, a lot of times what I do is I ask questions about, tell me something in your life, a point in your life where you changed something. Let's not talk about drugs.
Yeah,
right.
We get that you're good at the drugging.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then
you just
like
tell me about a point in life where you changed something, whether that's a habit, an interest, anything, the way that you related to people, you know, and like, tell me about that, because I want you to know that you can change. And I know there's evidence of it in your past somewhere.
Right.
About something.
Yep.
And so you need to know that you can change. You need to know also that people will, you know, maybe not your cranky uncle, but people will, like, look to you as a hero.
Yeah.
If you, like, you know, and I don't think it's, I don't like to play the hero about I quit my drug problem, because it's
kind of silly.
Ultimately,
but, right?
it ends up being like, well, there was this thing I thought I needed to do all the time to feel good. Then I realized I didn't, and so I don't do it anymore. And I don't view that as heroic, but other people do.
Yeah,
that's right.
And they will think you're impressive, even if they know this about you. Like,
that's so true.
Like, and I mean, you could say the most outlandish things, like, you know, I accompanied a prostitute to make sure that she wouldn't get robbed, and she gave me part of the money. Like, that's outlandish. And then people would be like, yeah, wow, you have a crazy past. Wow, that's really amazing that you, like, you are who you are now. Like, and it's like, all is forgiven.
Your point is you can move on from this image of being this destitute junkie. And even this past can be used to your benefit.
Part of moving on is also forgiving yourself. Because there's this whole thing, and I feel like I know the person that he was talking to, and I feel like there's you pile on so much shame on yourself that there's this, you know, your negative self-talk is like, I'm weak, you know, that I'm weak because I went back to drugs, and or I'm a terrible person, I'm a hedonist, I'm, you know, and you pile on all of this shame and guilt for the substance use, and what we do with guests here is we try to kind of undo that and let people know, look at, this is not something that makes you a bad person. It doesn't mean that you're weak. It doesn't mean that you're evil, or
it's normal and
exactly.
natural to want to take something that makes you feel different.
Not a
monster for that.
No,
right?
Absolutely not. And
to forgive yourself for the bad things you did do, right?
Yeah.
Let's say you did some shitty things.
Yeah.
I did plenty of really not very nice things to people, very unthinking and callous. But you got to say, that shit ends today.
Yeah, I can,
you know,
be done with
that.
I don't have to be that person anymore.
Yeah, I really can be a good citizen. You know, that was always my image of myself, was I want to be a good citizen. Here's an interesting thing that happened to me. So I go back to my 10-year high school reunion. And,
I was there.
Yeah. and I'm sitting at a table with a couple of old friends, and we're talking. We're having a really good time. And another guy comes over, another student, past student with me, comes over and he goes, we're all just sitting at the bar, and we have decided that we have voted you, Mark Sharon, the most changed. And I thought, I was glowing when he said that. They go, and then he goes, you know, we all thought you were dead. You, like, disappeared. Now, I didn't, I was, they knew me when I was getting high.
Yeah.
I disappeared when I got sober.
Right.
Because I was like, that was when I decided I was going to leave. I didn't tell anybody. I burned all my shit, literally burned, lit it on fire and walked out of my life and, and started over. And that was the first time they saw me since that conversion happened. I had no reason in the first 19 years of my life to really believe that I could be anything because I had no historical fact in my life that said that I was a lovable or a good person because I wasn't.
Yeah.
And so for me, I had to really build it. I had to leave it all behind and build it. So it was a very big demarcation between my drinking and my sobriety. And then to have that little thing happen with the people that only knew me the old way was a huge, huge thing. And so it was a big victory. My point is, you can, and trust me, I had two suicide attempts in my teen years. So I know what it's like to be downtrodden. And I've watched countless, thousands of people. We've had over 9,000 people come through our retreat. I've seen thousands of people move on. And it's awesome to watch. So you can too.
Yeah. I think, I always try to tell people that the self-forgiveness, like that Michelle was talking about, what that means is you recognize that we come into life knowing nothing.
Right.
Having to learn how to live life.
Everything.
Yeah. Having to learn everything. And there's no instruction manual for life. There's self-help books. We wrote a self-help book, right?
Mm-hmm.
But your individual life is going to present your own unique challenges, and you, just like us, come into it not knowing how to deal with any of those unique challenges. And there are going to be mistakes, and this trial and error throughout life is actually what makes you learn even more and even more strongly. You know, people talk about the school of hard knocks. That's a, people don't say that for no reason.
Right.
It's one of the most powerful ways to learn is to make the mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, so whatever you're going through now that you feel like dooms your existence probably makes you function even better in the future.
That's right.
You know.
If you view it that way. I mean, even here at the Freedom Model with our program, like, we're a research organization, so we're really, you don't know what you don't know,
right?
Until you know it.
Yeah, until you
figure
it out. So our program has evolved. I mean, it's been 30 years of evolution.
And we were basically completely wrong when we started.
We started from
nearly
wrong. Not completely.
We had one thing, which is we had the one thing that has been consistent, which is you don't have a disease and you're not powerless. So we're gonna start with the basics, which is you absolutely can change.
Yeah.
You know, that this isn't a forever thing. And it turns out that nothing is a forever thing. No feeling, the good and the bad. Everything is temporary.
Yeah.
Everything.
So we've put out a bunch of, like, basic, like, slogan-y type stuff in a way right now. But I think people need to hear it. Like,
yeah.
I think
the shit is true.
Because you get in this dark little space of, you know, I am doomed. And it just isn't true. If you're there, challenge yourself to understand that it just isn't true. And if you're really, really, really bad, go talk to somebody. Definitely. Don't ever, even though we sort of mock treatment for addiction, don't ever stop yourself from getting help if you're in a place that seems suicidal. Talk to a person.
Yeah.
Talk to somebody, you know. No shame in it because everybody goes through it in a way at some point.
Yeah, my training is in psychology. So when I was going through it, I was like, I'm not going to go to a therapist because I know what they're going to say to me and I don't want to hear that shit. You know, I'm just going to, and that's just me being invested like invested in my misery at that moment,
yeah,
you
yeah.
know?
Staying
and,
static.
Yeah, yeah, and thinking that, and you know, and I'd be always like, I don't want to, you know, burden any of my friends with what I'm thinking. But part of that was also ego driven because I didn't want anybody to know,
yeah,
you know, what
yeah.
was going on
I've
in my head,
that.
You know?
I was big on yeah. that. I prolonged my misery many times needlessly because I was embarrassed by it.
Yeah.
And that's really unfortunate.
Yeah.
It is.
And really most of the time, if you talk to somebody, they're going to be warm and welcoming and,
yes.
yeah, and help you through it. And if they don't, it's not a friend you want anymore.
That's exactly. yeah. It's not
ultimately,
about you.
That's true.
That's not anything you did. That's that person's got their own shit.
Yeah, and it's all right. You've learned something. You sort of cut that person out if you're in your darkest moment.
Right.
And they're like, ooh, I don't know about that. Like, ooh, why this is awkward? Why'd you tell me that? And it's like, you don't need that person around. Most people are not going to do that.
That's right.
Yeah, I
right?
did have that experience, though.
Yeah, that
I
was
did when I was in college with one of my roommates.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, I remember saying all this dark stuff, and she was like,
Jesus.
Ow.
I
and she, like, walked out of the room. I was like, wow, okay.
Yeah, see, I only had one experience like that, and it was in a professional realm where I reached out to somebody, like, hey, how do I, like, I don't know what direction to go with this, whatever. And was ignored, and it was like, wow, I've reached out to people about really dark shit before, and everybody's been willing to help, and now I'm like...
A professional.
Like, what do I do with my, like, theater career or whatever, and it's like, and I'm being ignored from somebody who really should be helpful on that, you know what I mean? It's
yeah.
Like, that eked me out, but thank God that for the real tough things, actually, people always did
yeah.
respond to me, when I was willing to say...
Right.
You know, I'm really going through this crap, and I need help with that.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. So if here's the synopsis of where you start to crawl out of a dark place, believe that you have the possibility that it can get better because it can almost instantly start to get better.
Yes.
You
the
may
minute
not,
you open your mind to that possibility.
That's right. Then you're moving in a productive direction, and just know that you've probably gotten through things like this in the past and look at that and say, but don't harp on the negative. I know that sounds absolutely dismissive, but it's the truth. It's the only way to start to crawl out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it really is, if you're having a substance use problem and this thought is haunting you, the rest of my, I've ruined the, in, you know, I've ruined my life and I have no more life ahead of this. Really addressing the substance use problem in a way is a question of answering that it's of challenging that thought
yeah.
and believing actually all isn't ruined. There is something beyond this. There
right.
that you know that's the base of the whole thing if you're in that place.
And make sure you know that it's more normal statistically to move past the preference that's keeping you trapped. It's more normal to move past that than it is to keep it. Most people, the vast majority, will move past their addiction. I mean, it's just a fact. And you
yep.
will, too. And you will, too.
Yep.
That's what's important now.
I think that's it. I think we'll wrap it up for today. We're coming up on about 30 minutes. All right. Thank you so much for listening today. If you or someone you know is seeking help for a substance use problem or other habitual behavior, and you want help breaking free and moving past recovery as well, you can reach us at 888-424-2626 or through our websites at thefreedommodel.org, leaveaddictionbehind.com, and soberforever.net. At thefreedommodel.org, we have a bunch of free resources and information, including videos, podcasts, ebooks, and the digital editions of our books, The Freedom Model for Addictions and The Freedom Model for the Family, are still available for free. The digital downloads are free at thefreedommodel.org/products. Enter coupon code FREEDOM100 for The Freedom Model for Addictions and FAMILY100 for The Freedom Model for the Family at checkout to get those for free. Follow us on social media, including Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, and subscribe to the Freedom Model YouTube channel. And we have 3 Facebook groups we started for people to discuss their experiences breaking free from addiction and perpetual recovery. They are the Freedom Model Group, Moving Beyond Addiction and Recovery, and Families Moving Beyond Addiction and Recovery. And there are some great Leaving AA and Deprogramming groups on Facebook as well. If you are struggling and need detox, you can call our friends at Gallus, Detox. That's GallusDetox.com. GallusDetox.com. And that's it. Thank you, everyone, from everyone here at the St. Jude Retreat and the Freedom Model. We wish you well.
Thanks. Bye.